Wealth is more than simply having financial means. Wealth is a mindset, a way of living. Money comes and goes, but for those with the right outlook and understanding of wealth, there will always be opportunities. Our guest today, Tom Corley, understands the difference between rich and poor. At age 9, his family went from being multimillionaires to broke in just one night. Since then, Tom has been seeking to understand wealth. For 5 years, he studied the daily activities of over 200 wealthy people and over 100 people living in poverty. He discovered the gap between the two was based on their daily habits. From his research, he wrote the book, Rich Habits, The Daily Success Habits of Wealthy Individuals, and his upcoming book, Rich Kids. Tom, welcome to success. It's our great fortune, pun intended, to have you here with us today.
It's great to be here, Darren. I'm honored. Thank you.
So, Tom, before we dive into the details about wealth habits, share a little bit more about your background with us. I mentioned your family went from everything to nothing overnight. Talk about what happened, how it shaped your outlook on wealth, and what your biggest lesson from it all was.
Sure. That is burned into my memory. I remember I was 9 years old. It was 1970. Our family, according to my dad, he said back then he was worth about $3 million, which in today's dollars is about $20 million. And then all in one night, it all came crashing down. He was the victim of what I call random bad luck. His warehouse burnt down, and he spent 2 years fighting the insurance companies for money, got pennies on the dollar, and then for the next 13 years, we just struggled financially. And that experience, Darren, completely altered my perspective regarding wealth and poverty for most of my adult life. Until I completed this Rich Habits research back in 2009, my view was that wealth and poverty were simply the byproduct of random luck. And I guess the big takeaway for me from our descent into poverty was that wealth is really a two-step process. It's making it and then keeping it.
Yeah, indeed. Okay, so as a result of your experiences, you spent a great deal of time studying both rich and poor. So tell us, what was your revolutionary discovery that you made during this research?
Yeah, Darren, after completing my study, I was floored that wealth and poverty have absolutely nothing to do with random luck or the circumstances of your life, and has everything to do with your daily habits. I found that the wealthy had vastly different daily habits than the poor, and that your daily habits are the cause, and wealth and poverty is the effect. That the rich just simply do certain consistent fractional things every day that the poor don't do.
So we all know that, at least this is the news reports tell us, that 5% of the population in America make most of the money and control most of the wealth. So tell us about who these people are, profile them for us so we can know the aspects of them so we can learn from them.
Sure. Well, 18% were senior executives at big companies, 51% were small business owners, 13% were salespeople, 63% took some risk in search of wealth, 91% were decision makers at their job, and 86% worked more than 50 hours per week. That's one of the rich habits I uncovered, hard work ethic. 27% failed at least once in business, which was interesting to me what I went through with my family and my dad. 80% were focused on pursuing one major goal, and I know you're a big proponent of goals, so that you could appreciate that. And 75% learned their rich habits primarily from their parents, Darren. The others learned them from career mentors, teachers, books, or the school of hard knocks. Just a few more. 88%, they read 30 minutes or more each day strictly for learning, just to learn. 54% were eternal optimists. 67% watched less than an hour of TV a day. And 81% maintained a to-do list. When it came to saving, 94% saved 20% or more of their income. And this is an interesting one. 44% woke up 3 hours or more before their workday actually began. That one was shocking to me. 89% slept 7 hours or more each night. And that's a big important thing that I learned in my research. Sleep is so important to your neural health, to your cognitive ability. And the last one is 76% exercised aerobically, 30 minutes or more, 4 days a week. And that's an important health habit. And I think that's a good profile overview of the rich.
So there's some fantastic statistics there. At the end of this interview, Tom, I'll have you send me that so we can post that up on Success and have everybody sort of see where they fit on some of those percentages, because those I think are key. And we're obviously talking to the right audience here. 51% of them are small business owners, which most of the people who read and listen to Success are in that profile. So let's go to this revolutionary discovery, the one that's part of the title of your book, and talk more about the role of habits. Break down the types of habits that you've witnessed in both rich and poor and the main differences. I know you talk about ordinary habits and then keystone habits. So tell us the difference between those two and how we should understand habits and how they affect our outcomes.
Yeah, well, the keystone habits are unique habits in that they overpower ordinary daily habits, and overpowering means they can control them or eliminate them. So you can actually just add one rich habit, and it can overpower two or three of your ordinary bad poverty habits. You know, I have over 240 of this data that I track, the differences between the habits and the behaviors of the rich and poor. I'll run over a few of them for you. One is something I know is one of your favorites, is goals. 80% of the wealthy in my study were obsessed with pursuing one major long-term goal versus 12% for the poor. In fact, 55% of the wealthy spent a year or more in pursuit of just one single goal. I didn't find anyone in my poor group that was doing the same thing. So goals are very important. You have to pursue goals to turn that switch on. The wealthy were also master self-educators. 88% spent 30 minutes or more each day reading to learn versus 2% for the poor. And the wealthy read material related to their dreams, their goals, their careers, biographies of other successful people, self-help, and all sorts of things just to learn. 85% of the wealthy read two or more books a month, which was another interesting thing. And they did this month in and month out during their adult lives. They never stopped learning. They make self-education a daily habit. And 63% of the wealthy also listen to audiobooks during their commute to work or while exercising and around the home. So only 5% of the poor had this rich habit.
So, Tom, we know that if we want to be wealthy and feel wealthy, a big part of that is our relationship. So break down the power of our associations that we have with people on our track to wealth and describe the characteristics of a rich relationship.
The rich build strong relationships with other successful, like-minded people. And that's what I found in my research. The poor built relationships with other poor people. And you know, if you want to be more successful in life, you need to spend more time with successful people. We all know that. We've heard that. But yet there's actually a way to do it. You are a big fan of tracking. So am I. So one of the strategies that I came up with is to actually track your relationships, who you're associating with, and, you know, whether they're a rich relationship or a poverty relationship. So the wealthy are very tuned in to who they're associating with.
All right, now I want to ask you about mindset. How do the rich think? Explain their thought process to us.
The wealthy are far more open-minded than the poor. Because they are engaged in reading and learning every day, they, by nature, are open to new ideas. They're looking for new things. And the poor in my study, they just had these limiting beliefs, these ideologies that locked them down, that made it virtually impossible for them to embrace any new thinking, any new knowledge, or any new possibilities or ideas. So the rich people and the poor people just have very different beliefs and thinking. Listening is such an important rich habit. The wealthy are good listeners. In fact, I came up with a tool that I like to talk about, the 5-1 rule. And the way it works is simple. You listen for 5 minutes for every minute that someone's talking. If you get into the habit of doing that and become cognizant of that 5-1 rule, it'll become a habit to become a better listener. And that's important because wealthy individuals, that's how they learn about their relationships. They gather information. It's like a reconnaissance mission to gather information on their relationships. And some of the wealthy in my study even maintained a small notebook. They carried it around with them, and they just wrote things down about their relationships.
How about time management, Tom? How do the rich spend their time? What's their focus when it comes to productivity?
67% of the wealthy, they watch less than an hour of TV each day. Compare that to the poor. 77% of the poor watched more than an hour of TV each day, Darren. And now we have the internet, and 63% of the wealthy, they spend less than an hour a day on the internet recreationally. But 87% of the poor, they spend more than an hour each day on the internet, just not really doing anything constructive. And this is important because the wealthy are freeing time up so that they can read, they can learn, they can volunteer, and they can do the important networking. The wealthy vet their thoughts. This is something that I thought it was absolutely the opposite of what was reality. The wealthy vet their thoughts, that not every thought needs to come out of their mouth. The wealthy make a habit of managing the words that they use. It's why they're so successful. People just want to do business with them. They just don't say what's on their mind. They know that it's going to damage relationships. Those are some of the top ones.
So you packed, obviously, a lot of things into that one answer. So first off, I think everybody listening can find themselves on the path to wealth. If you are listening to this audio, you are a subscriber to Success Magazine. You are learning and reading and developing, as you had suggested, 88% of those that are wealthy do this constant, never-ending pursuit to learn and grow. So first off, everybody can feel great about that. The second thing is, where I usually start with people are their influences. So as you talked about, things that are affecting their mind, both negative, what might be sensational news media, and positive, which might be reading Success or listening to interviews like this or audiobooks or other tools of education, as you described. Then the relationships, the influences through associations, as you talked about. And then the next one is their physical health. I always find that if people can regain their confidence, there's something very validating when people start to feel better and feel stronger and feel more confidence, kind of that root cause where then change starts to transform and ripple through the rest of the areas of their life. So talk about how the wealthy that you found devote time each day to caring for their health and what those practices look like and what you recommend that others do.
Sure. Well, besides the daily 30 minutes of aerobic exercise that I uncovered that the wealthy do it 4 days a week, 57% of the wealthy counted calories every day, and only 5% of the poor did this. One of the wealthy, Darren, in my study, they had this tracking schedule where they actually tracked the number of calories for the morning, the afternoon, and at night. And so I duplicated that, and I uncovered that and duplicated it in 2007. At the time, I was 212 pounds. I'm 6'3", so it doesn't appear that I'm heavy, but I knew I was. So I started doing this tracking schedule. And then after 30 days, I discovered what my caloric threshold was, which is the number of calories that you'll neither gain weight or lose weight. And mine was 2,140 calories a day. So I decided to intentionally reduce my calories about 200 or 300 calories a day. And in about 7 months, I went from 212 pounds to 174 pounds. And I remember we were at dinner and my wife said, "You've got to stop losing weight. People are talking. They think there's something wrong with you." So I know that these strategies work. And this particular one, the tracking schedule, 70% of the wealthy ate less than 300 junk food calories a day, Darren, while 97% of the poor ate more than 300 junk food calories a day. Another one was 75% of the wealthy avoided fast food restaurants, whereas 69% of the poor admitted to eating at fast food restaurants more than three times a week. And these health habits are important because one of the individuals in my studies, you know, who was 67 years old, worth $17 million, I said, why don't you retire? You have all this money. And he looked at me like I was from Mars. He said, "Why would I retire? I spent the last 40 years exercising and watching what I ate. I knew that at the end of my career was going to be the highest earning years. So I wanted to squeeze another 4 or 5 years out." And I looked at him, I said, "But why? I still don't understand. What's another $4 or $5 million? And he said, "Well, it's not for me. It's for my kids and my grandkids and for their kids so that they can all get a college education and, you know, have a little bit of an advantage in life." So, you know, wealthy people are healthy people. A lot of reasons for that are because of their legacy they want to leave.
So let's talk more about productivity. You talked about time management. One of the mindsets that you mentioned in the book is a do-it-now mindset. Give us a few examples of those who display the mindset you describe and ways that we can enact it in our own lives.
Sure. Well, you know, procrastination is a poverty habit. It prevents even talented people from realizing success in life, it holds you back. And most people, unfortunately, have the procrastination poverty habit. But believe it or not, the voice of procrastination screams just as loud in the minds of the wealthy as it does in everybody else. The difference, Darren, is how wealthy, successful people stop that voice of procrastination. And I uncovered five strategies that they used in my study. The first is a to-do list. And there's really two types of to-dos. There's the goal to-dos. Those are they're almost always fixed in nature. They're tied to some goals that you're pursuing. And then there's the non-goal to-dos, and those are your administrative work-related to-dos. The second tool is the Daily Five. I love this one. I've been using it for the past 4 or 5 years. Every day, successful people incorporate into their daily to-do list five things that they want to accomplish before the day ends. And the Daily Five can represent five things that are unrelated to your 9-to-5 job. They can be five minor things that you do every day that move you forward towards some goal or pursuing some dream or purpose in your life. The third tool is setting and communicating artificial deadlines. When we set deadlines and then when we communicate those deadlines to others who are directly affected by us getting that task done, it increases the urgency for completing the task. It elevates it from a mere to-do to really a personal promise you make to another individual. It puts pressure on you to fulfill your promise and meet your deadline. The fourth tool is the accountability partners. I know you talk about this a lot in your compound effect. It's a really important topic. An accountability partner is someone you meet primarily weekly who holds your feet to the fire and, you know, accomplishing some of your tasks. This can be one individual. It could be multiple individuals. It could be a mastermind group. But a good 1 week meeting will help keep you on task. And knowing that there are others who will hold you accountable to perform certain tasks also elevates these tasks from mere to-dos. And, you know, we all perform better when we know others are watching us, Darren. So accountability partners could be a really big asset. The last tool is the do it now affirmations, which you started with. No one likes to be nagged. Nagging, however, whether we realize it or not, or want to admit it or not, it alters our behavior. We tend to get things done when someone starts nagging at us. And the do it now affirmation is really a self-nagging technique that it really works. By repeating the words do it now over and over again, you're effectively nagging yourself. When I uncovered this tool during my research, I started using it to nag myself into doing the time and billing, which I hate to do. I still hate to do it. But now all I have to do is think about the affirmation. It's such a habit for me that it acts as a habit cue to force me to get the time and billing task done.
So, Tom, we know we all have habits. We have good habits, we have bad habits, right? So knowing what the rich habits are is enlightening and inspiring and will empower us to seek those. But what if we have developed some ordinary or poverty habits? Give us your best advice on how we can take the necessary steps to transform those habits from ordinary ones to keystone ones that will put us onto the path towards greater wealth.
Sure. Rich habit number one says, look, track your behavior for a week. Find out, list everything that you identify as a bad habit and do that for a week. And then take all those bad habits at the end of the week and list them on a sheet of paper. And now we're going to magically transform those poverty habits, those bad habits, into rich habits. You simply take that list and then you start to invert each one of the poverty habits. For example, let's say you watch too much TV. Well, your new rich habit's going to be, I watched less than an hour of TV today. Let's say your poverty habit is you don't exercise. Well, your new rich habit is going to be, I exercise 20 to 30 minutes today aerobically. So you go down the list of all your poverty habits and you just invert them. And then those become your new rich habits. And then you carry those rich habits around with you, sort of a rich habit checklist, you know? And then you tick off the number of rich habits that you accomplish in a day. You can even incorporate it like I do into my to-do list. And in my opinion, if you hit 20 to 30% of your rich habits every day, then you're successful because, Darren, it's the little things that make a difference in life. So all you need is two or three of these rich habits. They will, because I configured them to be keystone habits, they will overpower your other ordinary habits. That's the power of the rich habits.
So, Tom, before we wrap up our time together, tell us the story of someone you've worked with or encountered who started out living with poor habits but managed to transform themselves to live with rich habits for a wealthier and happier life. Give us their story and the number one thing that made the difference for them.
Yeah, there was an individual in my study. There's many of those individuals in my study. One in particular stood out because he really transformed himself from nothing. Someone that had nothing, was doing nothing with his life, to someone that became the number two guy at a big pharmaceutical company in New Jersey. He was essentially working in the mailroom. It wasn't really a mailroom, but it was the equivalent of a mailroom in the pharmaceutical big company. And somebody gave him a self-help book to read, so he read it. And he got the idea, hey, you know, I want to improve my life. So one of the pieces of advice in there was to join a trade group. So he joined a trade group in the pharmaceutical industry. And he did that. He was working in that trade group for about 3 years. And then he was learning from all these other people new information about the pharmaceutical industry. He became an expert in it, and then he started really getting into it and studying the industry. Well, fast forward, you know, 3 or 4 years, and they have this big meeting in this trade group, this big regional meeting, and all the CEOs at the pharmaceutical companies were there. And one of the individuals at the table looked at another CEO, and he said, hey, you know, we've got this guy, Rich. He's such a great, you know, asset on our trade group. He's on this committee. He's on that committee. Boy, you're real lucky to have him as a manager in your company, because he recognized his tag and he knew who Rich worked for. So the CEO said, yeah, we're very lucky to have him. And he got back to the office and he called his secretary and he said, who is this guy, Rich? And she got back to him. He said, well, yeah, he works here, but he works in the mailroom. And he said, not anymore. And he promoted him to the management trainee program, and he just rose up the ladder. That's one rich habit that he just adopted, which is trying to learn more about his industry through the trade groups. It completely transformed his life. It took him from nothing, poor, to wealthy, and he attributes it to that rich habit.
Well, Tom, I'm sure we all feel a little bit wealthier just having listened to you. Thank you so much for sharing your research, your insights, and the great information with us here at Success. Tom, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks, Darren. Much appreciated.
Success Magazine Audio. Copyright Success Media. All rights reserved.